The Yoga Sutras of Patanjali are the thread of the science of uniting one's consciousness. The Yoga Sutras of Patanjali are a classical concept. They constitute, together with the Bhagavad Gita, the backbone of the discipline of yoga, the science of uniting one's consciousness. There are many interpretations, though, of this analytical masterpiece of the incarnation of Adi Shesha, who is Patanjali. He, who as the ego expansion of Vishnu, wrote this summary, so to say, about the discipline of connecting oneself with the soul, formed therewith the ego of yoga. The existence of the many interpretations of this text pleads for the quality of this text as much as the music of Johann Sebastian Bach is to be considered good because it cannot be spoiled by interpretation. Each interpretation shines in the glory of its own truth to harness the eye awareness of the yogi. The authenticity and comprehensibility of such an interpretation is the litmus test, one might say, for the quality of someone's self-realization in yoga, as much as the Bhagavad Gita stands for the fundamental purport of someone's respect for the integrity of the original personality of uniting consciousness. This literary philosophical monument from the Indian realm here is represented from the perspective of phylognosy. The time, the ether, and gross matter are all equally fundamental expressions of nature's divinity. And thus, yoga is actually the most concrete of all sciences around, for it relates directly to these fundamental absolute truths when it offers us the discipline to live with them. Yoga, turning away from time, space, and matter, lands, meditating on it, right in the middle of it as the one and only correct vision upon it, as the only right consciousness of unifying therewith, of the natural order of consciousness of time therewith. 1. Absorption. And now, let's talk about the instructions of uniting one's consciousness, of yoga. Connecting oneself in yoga means that the rumination of the materially motivated mind comes to a stop. Then the witness that one is for oneself will be found in its original position of service. In all other cases, one could say that one has been allured by, that one identifies with, the ruminating mind. There are five forms of rumination which are either pleasant or possibly of a problematic nature. They stem from A. direct experience, B. from setbacks, C. from instability, D. from sleep, and E. from one's memory. A. The knowledge of direct perception draws from the source of that which appears to the senses, from the conclusions one draws therefrom, and from scriptural authority, the basic reference for one's thinking. B. Setbacks are the product of a wrong vision, which entails a certain estrangement. C. Instability is based upon clinging to superficial notions. D. Sleep means a form of rumination in which one, being absent, relies upon, rests upon a purely mental state. E. Memory is based upon the experience of a matter one is not willing to give up. In case one wants to put an end to these five forms of rumination, one must A. carry on with, and B. refrain from. A. Carrying on, one time and again tries to find peace. One succeeds in finding a firm basis with protracted, uninterrupted, sustained devotion. B. Refraining or detaching from the listening to a superficial thing that one notices of oneself when one is ruminating, is based upon consciousness, the comprehension one achieves when one is free from longing, when one has subdued one's desires. That lofty notion of one's own person is achieved when one is free from the three operating modes of nature, that is to say, when one is not too slow, too agile, or too much of all the good. The right form of knowing is associated with weighing things, discriminating things, feelings of happiness and self-awareness. When one, in the state of rest, builds upon the carrying on, another equilibrium comes about, a purer outlook than one had before. In that state of being, one builds upon the not physically, not sensually clinging to nature. Belief, courage, memory, absorption, and true knowledge then constitute the opposite of what one had before. For those who are enthused and of sincere effort, it is within reach. One may be differently engaged in it, in an unsteady way, a moderate way, or a zealous way. On the other hand, one may also be of devotion for the person of God, that is to say, the Lord of Yoga and his representatives. The person of God is a person different from others in being a reservoir apart from sorrow, profit-minded work, and the consequences thereof. That reservoir is the unsurpassed source of all knowledge. What counts with that source is the involvement with time that is stable, which there is before all other things, which ranks first, and which is also the teacher. He, that source, is indicated with the syllable of Aum, the pranava. The purpose of that syllable is to be repeated time and again for oneself. The thoughts then turn inward to find there, next to an absence of hindrances, also the control over them. The hindrances consist of disease, unsteadiness, indecision, inattentiveness, laziness, misconception, discouragement, and a wandering mind. There are also worries, despair, physical ups and downs, and wrong breathing as the things that furtherly distray. To counter that, one must carry on with that one true state as a principle and reality. One needs to keep a benevolent disposition in mind that is of friendliness, compassion, and gladness in equanimity concerning happiness and grief, virtue and vice. Another possibility is to fix one's attention upon the outgoing or retained breath. Or else, one fixes one's attention upon an object which offers the mind a hold. One can also put an end to one's worries with the help of a bright source of light. Another possibility is to direct oneself at a holy object or a conscious spirit free from attachments, a saint for instance. Or else, in the basis that is fundamental to one's sleeping, waking and dreaming. Further, one may meditate upon anything one feels attracted to. Mastering this, one is able to find the greatest, even in the most insignificant. With the rumination dissolving, the knower, the knowing, and the known find their stable foundation, as if it were a clear diamond, and a transformation is realized. Completely absorbed in that transformed state, all that one hears, the meanings, the knowing, and the considerations roll in one. When one's mind going over things of the past is completely purged, is freed from its own nature, so to say, the singular envisioning emerges in its purest form, which is free from any consideration. From this singular envisioning, operating without the need of any consideration, also the subtle itself is then disclosed. The subtle, which is there from elsewhere, is then, without it being seen, included in the knowing. This being absorbed inevitably depends on the basis of something existing in reality. Having experience in this unreflected knowing, there is the serenity of the pure soul, the Supreme Spirit. What is hearsay, or of one's own concluding, is completely unrelated to this purpose of pure intelligence. The insight emerging in that state contrasts sharply with the processing of other impressions. When one also stops that, and thus puts an end to everything, one is of the deep absorption that is without an object. 2. The practice. When one practices the uniting of one's consciousness, there is penance, self-study, and the contemplation of the person of God. The absorption is there to realize that that which is an obstruction weakens, and that what is wished for comes about. That what gives trouble is a lack of knowledge, b, being egocentric, c, passion, d, aversion, and e, stubbornness. A, one may be ignorant concerning the field of action, directions to something, sleep, that which found its end, and that which is appropriate. To take the temporal for the eternal, the impure for the pure, what is unhappy for the happy, and the inauthentic for the authentic, is what one calls ignorance. B. When the seer sees it as such that he is one and the same as that what he is capable of, that is egoism. C. Happiness is closely followed by attachment. D. Unhappiness is closely followed by aversion. E. In his emphasizing his own grip, even the wise man is just as stubborn. These problems must be stopped as soon as one can. The moment they manifest, they must be countered with meditation, for the workload accruing from them constitutes a source of trouble one is faced with in the life one leads now, as well as in the life one is heading for. Because of that load, one may time and again start all over. From that karma, one is stuck to a certain life, and from that attachment, one has to suffer the consequences. That can be pleasant or else painful, depending the consequences of virtue and vice. A person of discrimination sees that the complete of these consequences, the turning away from them, the impressions one has of them, the worries thereof, and the changing quality thereof, because of the contrast they form, indeed constitute the misery. The misery not there yet can be averted. The association of the one experiencing with that what is experienced, the identifying one thus, is the cause that one in one's meditating has to forego. Whether that what one experiences leads to the clarification of the path of liberation, or is the servant of sensual pleasure, depends on A, the elements of nature, B, the nature of things. C, the senses and one's acting to them. D, the fortitude. E, someone's constitution. And F, the action one engages in. A, the changing quality of nature one knows. B, either in the spirit or in matter, as a general condition of change, as well as a certain state subject to change. The seer is nothing but pure consciousness, even though he witnesses, C, a certain changeable state of mind. The knowable of nature is there only for the sake of the soul. Opposing matter, material nature has played its part when one, D, successfully meditates, while, on the contrary, such is not the case in the normal state. The purpose of uniting consciousness is found in the two ones, E, own mastery realizing of one's own nature. It has to be so because of the lack of self-knowledge, the ignorance. The beatitude of the knower is found in the absence thereof, in F, countering the not coming about of that uniting of consciousness. To be uninterrupted of true discrimination in the perceiving is the way to overcome the self-alienation. In that fullness of knowing, there are seven realms. When one, by conscientiously maintaining one's position, unites the different elements in consciousness, all impurities will thereof disappear, so that the knowledge will radiate in its true glory. The innerly being united, the absorption, further entails the seven of A, renunciation, B, regulation, C, posture, D, breath control, E, turning inward, F, concentration, and G, meditation.